and welcome to Banter, the Radio 4 panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Placido Domingo to Gala Bingo are Will Smith.
Hello.
Simon Day.
Hello.
Lynn Ferguson.
Hello.
And Richard Herring.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. And between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you will hear this. No running, no bombing, and definitely no petting. So, like Shaw underarm deodorant, let's get the ball rolling with our first top three. Our first category is your top three British buildings. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Richard Herring. So if you sit this one out, please. Sorry, Richard.
No.
Will Smith, you're on the end. Would you like to start us off?
The Trocadero Centre.
Right, in London, for those living outside London.
Because where else can you buy blue sweets, a toy cat in a bag, and have your photo taken like a Wild West outlaw, all to a deafening house beat? It's very much how I imagine the inside of Dr. Fox's head. That's what I think it's like in there. Plus, it's a fantastic ready-made borstal. Just wall it up. It's just full of truanting chavs. I've got another. St. Pancras Station, I think it's genuinely beautiful. It's like an enchanted castle in the middle of London. And I don't think those are real tramps. I think they're ancient custodians from a sect. And they're guarding it until the true and rightful prince comes to claim it. Me.
There's also lots of runaway kids in St. Pancras. Mm. And they've come down, urchins. The dad's kicked them out, and they're in misery. They've got no money. So, that, you know, the prince's thing, I don't know.
No, it's lovely image. It's a lovely image,
but the reality is pigeon shit and
prostitutes.
Now, Simon Day, you're very much a Cockney. Any buildings in London that you like?
I'm not. The Royal Observatory in Greenwich.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That is
it's a beautiful building, and it's got a red ball which goes up and down. So it works as like a giant crazy golf thing from the outside. And it's on a hill. And also, there's a line near it, and you can have 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow.
Hey, just like Radio 2.
Very true.
These are too good, because nobody's disagreeing with these. Obviously, you agree, Lynn, with these choices.
I mean, very nice. It's three in Britain, isn't it? It's not just in London.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anywhere in
magic.
Britain.
I've got three. First one is my house. That's my first one, because it's got a big fridge in it. And really nice bed, and I live there. And it's a bonus. And the second one's my mum and dad's house. And that one's in Scotland. And that's because any time could be rolling sausage time.
Could be what?
Rolling sausage time.
What's that?
A roll in sausage.
I think we said rolling sausage, like some bizarre game where you poke a sausage along.
Like cheese rolling.
Yeah.
Actually, in Scotland, we have flat sausages, so the whole poking thing doesn't go too well.
Deep fried?
You can, but there's fat, quite a lot of fat in a flat sausage, so if you deep fry it, that's just over-gilding the lily.
I'm going to give you a point for that, because that's you can't argue with that.
Do you want my third one?
Yes.
My third one is the Natural History Museum.
Ah, that's very nice.
No, because it's got a big dinosaur in the hall.
That's a good point.
It's got a big dinosaur in the hall. Any other building in the world, on the planet, where you walk in, big dinosaur. Anyway.
Other natural history museums elsewhere.
Yeah, in the world.
Does nobody like castles?
Edinburgh Castle.
Thank you.
Edinburgh Castle's brilliant. Plus, it was Hitler's favourite building. That's not a recommendation, just because he liked it. But he actually wanted it as his headquarters. That's why he didn't let them bomb Edinburgh. He wanted to save that. And I like the idea of that he's kind of just thinking really far ahead. He's not worried about the Russian winters or actually, you know, defeating the British RAF. He's like, you guys conquer Europe, you know, I'm off to chew some carpets.
Lighthouses, they're good, aren't they?
But white ones, pale ones.
Whatever, they're erotic.
Yes, that's true.
They are.
That Tower Bridge, is that a building?
Yeah.
House of Commons. House of Commons, House of Parliament with the Big Ben thing and all that. That's good. Big clock.
It's got a big clock, yeah.
Got a big clock. You can always see what time it is. Magic.
That's true.
House of Commons, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the good quality.
projector naked body on the side of Big Ben.
She didn't do it, did she?
No.
Gail Porter's image was projected onto the...
Well, she had nothing to do with it.
No.
Just chance.
It was pure chance. She walked in front of the projector.
What's that? They
took the photo. The dome?
No.
Sorry.
No.
I just like the arrogance of the government. It just was amusing.
What, just building a big tent?
Yeah, and just everyone going, we don't want this, and them going, it'll be great. No, it won't. It's a bit like the current Chris Evans revival. No one wanted it, it's costing too much money, let's forget it.
Time's up on this topic, so I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes. Lynn Ferguson, your top three, remind us.
My house, my mum and dad's house, and the Natural History Museum.
Thank you very much. Simon Day, your top three?
The Royal Observatory, House of Parliament, and St Paul's.
Some
from the outside.
Simple. Yeah. So
from, from the hill. So pretty much sort of looking down onto it.
It's very specific, but I like that. Will Smith, your top three?
Big Ben, St Pancras and St Paul's.
Right, okay.
Big Ben isn't a building.
No.
What is it?
It's the name of the bell inside the St Stephen's Tower.
You're not allowed to speak.
Yeah. You were the most unpopular boy at your school.
Do you know what, Richard? I'm going to give you an extra point for saying that and take one off Will, because he's absolutely right.
Oh.
It's not a building. It's a great big bit of metal.
Are we a team?
No.
Why are we on a table together?
Sorry we couldn't get four tables. You are very much playing for yourself here.
Okay, well, I'd rather be in the team.
No, you can't be in the team.
All right, carry on.
So, we have chalked up some scores here, but you can all score some more bonus points if any of your three answers are in Richard Herring's envelope. So, Richard, please let us know what are your top three British buildings, please.
Stonehenge.
Ah!
That's not a building, it's a Neolithic monument.
You're saying it wasn't built, it's a building?
Well, like Big Ben wasn't built.
It was forged.
If I was on your team, I'd answer back, but...
I'm
with him.
The Tower of London, which is...
That's not a building.
And St Paul's Cathedral, because I'd like to turn it into flats.
Right then, points. Richard, you got 2 points because you had two matches, one with Will and one with Simon Day for St Paul's, so they both get a point each, which means at the end of round one, in fourth place, we have Will Smith. Third place, we have Simon Day. Second place, Lynn Ferguson. And Richard Herring, you are winning.
Hardly talking. How's that fair? He lied about a bell.
Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Richard, you're up first. So either or then. Half full or half empty?
Oh, I hate this because it's the same. So it's the same thing. It's meant to say optimistic or pessimistic, isn't it? Whether you say it's half empty or half full. But that's not taking into account what's in the glass. What if it's poison? So, you know, I don't agree. It's the same. It's like saying six of one, half a dozen of another. It's the same thing. And that isn't. At least they're different six things of different things.
Brilliantly explained.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you 2 points for that, right. I think. Simon Day. Keith Floyd or Pink Floyd?
Well, it has to be Keith Floyd. Because although he's around the same age as the members of Pink Floyd, essentially, he was a cheeky chappy. He liked to drink. He cooked lovely food. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, I'd rather have a nice dinner with him than listen to Comfortably Numb.
I'll give you a point for doing the non-obvious answer, so well done. Lynn, here's yours.
Oh, sorry.
Incompetent or incontinent?
I would definitely rather be incontinent because... Well, because that happens to people from time to time anyway, doesn't it? From time to time, everybody's had a wee bit of, whoop, like that, right? But if you are competent, you can do something about it. Do you know what I mean? So you can go, oh, had an accident, don't worry, I've sorted it out.
A number of points, I think, for that. We'll finally go to Will Smith. Donkey Kong or Don Quixote?
Don Quixote, because Nick Kershaw never did a song about Donkey Kong.
That's true.
Yeah? Although Howard Jones did do a B-side about Defender.
That's fine. I'll give you a point for logic there. That's very good. We'll add those points to our scores, and we'll move straight on to our second top three. So, Lynn Ferguson, you're sitting this round out. Please sit back as we bash out the top three dead rock stars. Can you start us off, please? Richard Herring.
Are we meant to like them, their work or the way they died? It's a bit of a... I really like Brian Connolly from Sweet, who sadly died of a heart attack. He had more heart attacks... But supposedly than any living human being had. The final one unfortunately killed him. But Sweet was the first record I ever bought, and I used to, when I was five, I quite fancied Brian Connolly.
Wow. Did you think he was a woman?
I did. He had long blonde hair. He was very good looking in those days.
Anyone else? Richard,
Sid Vicious is the best dead rock star, though. I like it when he put that cake in that woman's face in the Great Rock and Roll Swindle. That for me, he's a proper rock star.
In a way, he put a cake in the face of society, didn't he?
Well, no.
No. Of course.
That would have taken too long. Let us go then to Will Smith.
Buddy Holly, because I think it's brilliant that there is at least one rock star that, you know, I could maybe have beaten up. You know, if he looks like I could probably take him if he was a bit drunk and I attacked from behind, whereas all the others would slaughter me.
Why? It's round very seriously, and I got quite emotional because, you know, I don't think it's funny. And I've gone for three really important rock stars: Kurt Cobain, Freddie Mercury, and Jimi Hendrix.
What, and you think none of them are funny?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. He's the greatest showman of all time. I've left out the two drummers, John Bonham and Keith Moon, who had both very distinctive, different drumming styles.
Drummers have a hard time, though. John Stumpy Peeps.
Spinal Tap.
Died in a bizarre gardening accident.
He's not real. I was actually in a band when I was 16 and the drummer died.
In a bizarre gardening accident?
No. Richard, can I say, because you get 5 points for getting my favourite dead rock star, you're getting close.
Well, that guy in Toto, who actually had a very strange gardening accident.
I knew it was going.
That's my favourite dead rock star, Simon Day. You get 5 points for that.
Oh!
Can I get a point for naming him Jeff Porcaro because he played drums on the Dark Straits on every street album?
You didn't say his name.
Thank you.
I'll give 2 points for you for getting his name. Jeff Porcaro, who drummed with many people, including Toto. He formed Toto.
Yeah.
And he died in 1982, age 38, of a bizarre gardening accident.
Exactly.
It's not very funny, obviously. He put a lot of pesticide down on his lawn and then had an allergic reaction to it and died.
That's
not that bizarre.
No one's mentioned Elvis. Is he too obvious?
He's on my list.
Go on, then.
Elvis, because, you know, he's brilliant, you know, greatest rock star ever, and died on the toilet straining for a poo, which, you know, doesn't get better than that.
It gets a lot better than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Not dying on the toilet rupturing your innards for a start would be better than...
Is he still alive? I thought he was still alive living with Bruce Lee.
His insides were apparently, according to the coroner, impacted
with a clay-like substance,
which is one of those phrases that you'll never leave you, will it?
Yeah. Impacted with a clay-like substance. He was beautiful,
John Lennon was the best dead rock star. That is the correct answer.
Why?
Why?
Because he was the best at being a rock star, and he's dead, so he fulfills both criteria.
He wasn't good at weeding out fans, though, was he?
No, wasn't good at spotting trouble.
Let us have our official top threes. First, you, Will Smith. Your top three dead rock stars.
George Harrison, Freddie Mercury and Elvis.
Okay, Simon Day?
I'm trying to think of a Scottish one to get points. Kurt Cobain, Freddie Mercury...
Stuart Adams,
Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix.
Richard Herring?
I'll go for John Lennon's, Michael Hutchence and Brian Connolly. Not Brian Connolly. I think people thought I meant Brian Connolly before.
Yeah,
he's not dead.
No.
There's no justice in the world. There really isn't.
Right then, Lynn Ferguson, you may open your envelope and tell us what your three top three rock stars are.
I don't know if I've done very well, actually. Right, Elvis, best board-like man in the other things. Johnny Cash. I'm gutted that nobody mentioned Johnny Cash.
Wow. You know, I'm going to have to give you an instant point there just for getting a ripple.
Alex Harvey. Which is my Scottish
one. I knew you'd
one.
Dig a Scot out.
Right, that's an extra 1 point to Lynn Ferguson for matching up with Will. One Elvis, so you get a point as well, Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And that means round two leaves us with, in last place, Richard Herring. Joint second, Simon Day and Will Smith. But in the lead, Lynn Ferguson. Well done to you. Okay, time for another quickfire round. This one's called Simply the Best. And this is where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite TV Doctor Who, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them who their favourite TV Doctor Who was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. And I have the figures in front of me. Will Smith, who's your favourite TV Doctor Who?
Tom Baker.
I can tell you some stories about him.
Oh, dear.
I've worked with him extensively.
He
still doesn't know who I am. He doesn't recognise me. Anyway, Tom Baker.
Two Tom Bakers. Any particular reason, Simon?
Yes, I worked with him extensively. No, he had the right balance of comedy and seriousness. And he was good. He's a good actor.
So there's a theme developing here. Let us go then to Lynn Ferguson.
Tom Baker.
Oh. Tom Baker.
Do you know why, though? Because he had the best assistant. Because he had K-9, that dog. If you're going to have an assistant, you want an assistant that's got lasers out its eyes.
Who have you got, Richard?
Tom Baker.
Hey!
Maybe it's like blankety blank. We've got a full...
So then, I can reveal, in reverse order, third with 7% of the vote, David Tennant, who's only done a Christmas special, and with 13% of the vote, John Pertwee, and with 42% of the vote, Tom Baker.
Yes.
It's the Tom Baker love-in, frankly, which means 5 points to all four of you, which doesn't affect the score, so it's your own fault, really, for not being more original, like this one person in the audience who put, next to the category other, Wurzel Gummidge. So with that, we move on to our next top three. And it's time for your top three foreign words this time. Simon Day, you're sitting this one out. So what do you think, Lynn Ferguson?
First one is aperitif.
Nice.
Because that's how we describe a set of dentures north of the border. The other one is schnell. Schnell.
Why is that good? That's got a lot of bad memories for most people.
What memories does that have for you?
Well, I grew up in Jersey. Schnell, schnell. Yeah, come in.
Yeah. But you're only 12.
What does it mean?
Fast.
Quicker. See, fast doesn't sound scary, does it?
Fast. Well, imagine that being yelled at you in bed, though. That would really terrify you. Schnell, schnell.
That's where it's best.
Is it?
The third one is muchas gracias, right? Because, not particularly because of the phrase, but my dad, we went out to a sort of posh French restaurant one time, and all the waiters were like, and the waiter, this really sneery waiter, put this stuff in front of my dad, and my dad just had that face, right? It was like a dog chewing a wasp. And as the guy went away, my dad went, muchas gracias. And then he turned to us and he went, actually, they like it when you talk foreign.
You can have points for that. That's very good. It's nice to know.
Here's a great German word. Deep breath. Donau dam Schiff art Gesellschaft Kapitän Frauen verban sie Worts and Aufwart and Zied Schädigungsram in Ordnung Richtlinien.
5 points.
Is that your favourite word?
No, I never heard of it. What does it mean?
Well, it says here it loosely means, and you think, well, you could get this specific. I can't imagine there's much nuance in this. It means the Danube Steam Navigation Company's Captain's Wives Federation for Basic Remuneration Expenditure Guidelines. I think that's a brilliant word. That's 119 letters.
That's a brilliant word, yeah. You can have a point on behalf of the Germans who made that word up.
I also like the word Udini. It's what the Jawas say in Star Wars. They say it all the time. It seems to be, you know, useful in many situations. It could be, look out, stormtroopers, hands off my droid, or just simply, crikey.
Any foreign words down your end, Richard? That
I like Schadenfreude. Because I get a sense of delight whenever I hear anyone mispronounce it.
Point for being clever.
Thank you. I thought that was very Radio 4. Ménage à trois is my crowd pleasing.
Has that happened?
I'm stuck at the moment having a ménage à un, so...
I like this. It's not my favourite. My second favourite, so no points, is citron pressé, and it's basically squeezed lemon juice. It's really nice. No one has got my absolute favourite, though. I don't know whether you want to just cast around and see if you can get it.
Denouement.
Good.
Bivouac.
Brilliant. It's not it, but...
Igloo.
Is that a foreign word?
Yeah, of course it is. It's from Eskimo, isn't it? Then.
Inuit.
Auf Wiedersehen und schönes Wochenende.
What does that mean?
Goodbye and have a nice weekend.
That's brilliant.
That sounded so much ruder. That's German, isn't it?
We had a teacher called Mrs. Davis, and she made us say Auf Wiedersehen und schönes Wochenende on the Friday lesson, because we were going to have a nice weekend. But we always said it on the Tuesday lesson as well, because we just like saying schönes Wochenende. But you know, if I'm in Germany and I'm saying goodbye to someone and it's Friday, they love me.
Well, none of you have got mine, so I'll tell you what it is. Sudoku. Oh, how boring. Which means fast, fast in Japanese. No, it doesn't. It means we didn't actually invent this puzzle. That's what it means, because they didn't invent
it. They didn't. No, Carol Vorderman?
They didn't invent it. It was invented by Carol Vorderman.
Vorderman's a good foreign word. Vorder is Dutch for woman who is almost as clever as her.
So let's get your top threes then. Richard Herring, what are your top three foreign words, please, mister?
Ménage à trois, In flagrante delicto and in vino veritas.
What's the last one?
In wine is truth, which isn't true. Like, when I've drunk a lot of wine, I talk about a load of rubbish.
Lynn, what are your perfect
three words? Aperitif, muchas gracias, and probably dos cervezas, because that's the best I can do in Spanish.
Two beers. That's all you need in Spain.
Yeah, yeah. Dos cervezas.
Will Smith?
Udini, the Jawa catch-all, the long German word, and guafa, which is Spanish, and you just apparently say it to a lady, it just means you're very attractive and they don't take offence.
That's nice. So then, please, Simon, open the envelope.
It's like the Oscars, isn't it, or the Brits. Bellissimo.
That's nice.
Status quo. And Fan Daddy Dozy.
Should have got that, Lynn.
Lynn,
Scottish word.
Should have got that.
So at the end of that round, no bonus points. We're left with, in joint last place, Richard Herring and Simon Day. In second place, Will Smith. But in the lead, Lynn Ferguson. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from judo to Cluedo. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Richard Herring, who would win on Mastermind? Magnus Magnusson or John Humphreys?
They've both got all the answers, so they'd both probably come out equal.
You have a point for that, I think. We'll go to Simon Day now. Who would win on MasterChef, Cheryl Baker or Robin Cook?
Well, Robin Cook's no longer with us, but I imagine he might win, because I imagine he'd probably be a dab hand with the old Le Creuset. Whereas Cheryl Baker is from Essex, and I imagine she does a lot of boil-in-the-bag stuff. Although I may be doing a disservice.
I'll give you a point for slurring the whole of womankind in Essex.
Yeah, well, someone's got to do it.
Let's go to Will Smith now. Who would win on Family Fortunes, the Hiltons or the Rockefellers?
Assuming that you could get the families together and that they'd be bothered to fly over for the chance to maybe win £6,000. My money would be on the Rockefellers. They probably know more, as well as the Hilton sisters only know when the fleet's in town.
Do you know, I'm going to give you a couple of points for that, because that was beautifully said. And finally, Lynn Ferguson. Who would win at Kaplunk? Zoe Ball or Jack Straw?
There's not really any point to that game at all, is there?
There's a lot
of
skill.
There's a lot of skill.
On straws and marbles.
Yeah.
Which needle do you pull out?
Do you know, maybe I've just missed out in life because I've never really cared.
That's not the attitude. But nevertheless, I'll give you no points for not caring. Right, we'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you, we're after your top three things that you can wear on your legs. Simon Day, please start us off.
Right, grease, if you're swimming the channel.
Brilliant.
Which no one really does anymore, and I think the youth should sort of think about a challenge like that rather than beating each other up and photographing it on a phone. And denim jeans, because so many of my heroes have worn denim. James Dean, Marlon Brando.
Shaken Stevens.
Exactly. And lastly, fishnet tights, because I used to get a fancier girl who was going out with my mate who had fishnet tights, and nothing ever happened.
Lynn Ferguson.
Right, this is a shameless point-scoring exercise, so I have to think of what he's got in his envelope. Brown corduroy slacks.
You could have, you know, bigged my image up at home by saying, you know, leather trousers.
Chaps.
Yeah.
Leather chaps. Socks, suspenders. That's it.
They're on your legs, yeah, that's true. Do men still wear them?
They're only worn in sitcoms by bankers whose trousers fall down.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the only people who ever wear those.
Yeah. Richard Herring.
Yes.
What do you like to wear on your legs, or what do you think are the best things?
Well, that's
to wear
a different question.
I know it is.
Actually, no, it is the same. Stockings and suspenders.
You like
it's great.
To wear
them? I like legs, because legs are good on their own, but stockings and suspenders somehow make them better. Doublet and hose. Don't really know what it is, but I think it's those big things like Shakespeare, big puffy pants with tights.
I think
they should bring those back. And they used to have cod pieces with those as well, which was, that was a bit of pizzazz there. I'd like to see that brought back, cod pieces. So you'd have to wear the doublet and hose to go with that.
Okay.
Cricket pads. I think Will Smith will have chosen cricket pads. I'm confident of that. It's definitely going to be one of them. They protect your legs when you're playing a stupid game. Jodhpurs, again, it's quite sexy.
Why?
I think I like posh women. I think that's what it is.
Nobody has picked my favourite leg garment.
Bernie Clifton's ostrich legs.
Very similar to a doublet and hose.
Clown trousers.
Brown trousers.
Clown trousers.
Clown trousers.
Clown trousers. Green trousers. Tights.
Trousers is a word in my answer.
Is it? Policeman's trousers.
Short trousers.
No.
Hair. A man's hair. I think this might be it. I'm waiting for the bell to go. I like to shave my own legs, stick on the hair of another man. But it's their leg hair of another man.
It's not that.
Artificial limb.
No. I'm
a peg leg like a pirate would have.
I have to stop you. Policeman's trousers was the closest. I liked it when combat trousers were in fashion.
Oh.
Because loads of people who would never fight in a war wore trousers that you would wear in a war. Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top threes, please? Starting with Lynn Ferguson.
Brown corduroy slacks, chaps, and sock suspenders, just because I love them.
Richard Herring?
Long johns, cricket pads, and Bernie Clifton's ostrich legs.
And Simon Day, what have you ended up with?
Grease, fishnet tights, and denim jeans.
Excellent. Right. Unfortunately, the scores are currently as close as Tony Hadley and the rest of Spandau Ballet. So these last points are unlikely to make the slightest bit of difference. However, Will Smith, please open your envelope. Let us know what are your top three things you can wear on your legs.
I will. And I like the way you're all trying to guess what I might put down and thereby making me out to be some kind of archaic freak. So, just for the record, my three favourite things to wear on the legs are trousers, normal, shorts, and red thigh-high PVC boots. Which, on the first day of the month, I like to feel special.
I think no bonus points there for anyone. So, I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring and Will Smith. And that means that this week's winner, looking as pleased as the Lion and the Witch at an IKEA sale, it's Simon Day. So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, history may be written by the winners, but at least it's not written by Michael Winner. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collings and featured Simon Day, Lynn Ferguson, me, Richard Herring, and Will Smith. The show was advised by Tim Barber and the producer was Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.
And there'll be more top threes and tantrums at the same time next Thursday. In a moment, we've the news, and then we're off to Ambridge, where there's a danger of Ruth kicking the bucket as Operation Redecoration takes hold at Brookfield. It's the Archers in a couple of minutes. Then it's Front Row with Kirsty Lang.
Well, we've got the film director Werner Herzog talking about his new documentary, Grizzly Man, the true story of Timothy Treadwell, an American wildlife activist who lived amongst the grizzly bears of Alaska until one day his love affair with these huge and very dangerous animals goes horribly wrong. As the Folk Britannia Festival kicks off in London, musician Billy Bragg talks us through the new wave of folk musicians, and we have a review of the sci-fi children's film Zathura, which comes out in time for half term. All that after the Archers at 7:15.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 7 o'clock. The leader of the British National Party